Now. Hallelujah. Was that the trumpet sounding?
Well, the butlers got it off to a good start. The Davidsons came in and they just blessed our heart. Now, Brother Doug Weaver, precious man of God. And I got to follow him. All I can say is, I'm glad I can say with Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And I'm glad this morning I can say I know my Redeemer liveth. And he went on to say, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. Though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. That's not my text. Turn with us to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I just wanted to kind of inject that. The Lord's coming back. I wouldn't be surprised if it's today. Yes. And in fact, it'd be great if it was today, wouldn't it? Amen. Looking for him. I've been saved for 52 years. I know I don't look that old, but I am. I've been around Melvin Payne, Doug Bearden, so that keeps me young. Y'all don't understand that, but it does. Amen.
Keeps you on your toes,
isn't it? All right, let's read a few verses of Scripture in chapter 2, Psalms, chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 14. The Bible says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. I want to preach this morning, the Lord willing and with the Lord's help, on the subject of always triumph. Paul tells us in these verses of Scripture that the Christian is always triumphant. That is the reason Paul wrote in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. I say again I say rejoice. Hey. And again in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And one more time in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Isn't that good? Paul is saying that we're always triumphant. Now, there are probably some of you sitting here this morning said, preacher, I don't feel like I've triumphed. I don't feel like I'm on top. Well, folks, the thing about it is, Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, wrote that, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. We are on the winning side. Amen. We are more than conquerors. Amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at this, we look at the life of the Apostle Paul and the lives that are going on around us now. I think of what's going on in some of the foreign countries. Did you know that there have been more martyrs in the past 100 years than in the entire history of the Christian world? More in the last 100 years. More people have died for the sake of Christ than in the past 200 years. I want to look at some of the sufferings and the things that the Apostle Paul suffered. And I believe at the end of this that we will see that we are triumphant in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of our circumstances. Amen. We are triumphant. Sure. We are on the winning side. Yeah. We are headed for that glorious victory that Brother Doug Weaver preached on just a moment ago. Do you remember that in the very beginning of Paul's conversion, what happened to him? He was on the road to Damascus, and the Bible tells us that he was struck blind. Amen. I don't remember being struck blind when I got saved. I was 13 years old, lost and undone. And I was a good boy because I knew my daddy, what he would do to me if I wasn't good. But I was evil and mean and wicked on the inside of my heart. Paul was a good man, but he hated the church. Now, that's really an oxymoron, isn't it? Amen. But morally, Paul was a good man, but he hated the church. And he was on the road to Damascus to find all the Christians. In fact, if that had happened in this day, Paul would have come down here and probably had us arrested and thrown us in jail. But he was on the road to Damascus to find whoever he could of the Christian faith and kill, jail, beat, or whatever he could do to those people. And God struck him blind and saved him there on the Damascus road. None of us have been struck blind, have we? But then we find some other things about the Apostle Paul. The Bible tells us in the book, the 11th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, some awful, awful things that happened to the Apostle Paul. You might think this morning, how in the world can you say that we are triumphant in all things? Well, the same way Paul was. Paul tells us that he was in perils of water and in perils of robbers, in perils of his own countrymen, by the heathen, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, by false brethren, weariness and painfulness and watching off and hunger and in thirst and fastings and cold and nakedness. You look pretty good to me this morning. Dress well, you look good. Most of you look like you fed well. I mean, we're in pretty good shape, aren't we? But Paul suffered these things during his ministry, during his preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthian church, and some of you preachers know what Paul was talking about. He said, "The more abundantly that I love you, the less that I am loved." I know what Brother Doug was talking about. Brother Melvin, Brother Doug and all of these other preachers knows what it is to suffer in heart. Brother, it's hard to preach to folks, right out of your heart and see them leave out their door and say, "Preacher, we're just not satisfied anymore." Yeah. Oh, the hurt. But Paul said, "The more abundantly that I love you, the less that I am loved." That's right. But Paul said, we are triumphant in all of these things. Paul suffered in his body. Oh, how Paul suffered. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul suffered beyond what most of us know today. I've come to find out the older that you get, the more that you suffer. In the past 6 weeks, I've been going through tremendous pain in my body. I know what it's like for age to catch up on you. And I know what it's like to wake up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and pain racking through your body. But Paul is saying here, there was a messenger of Satan given unto me in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Sometimes God gives us these things to make us know whom He is and what He can do, and that we are always triumphant in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, surely this body will be raptured out, and we'll be caught up together with our loved ones in the air to meet the Lord. Folks, that's enough in itself to make us to keep going on. Paul had tremendous stress in his life. Look at verse 28 of 2 Corinthians 11. The Bible says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Listen, folks, we are under tremendous stress today. I haven't met a person yet that is making a living or that's pastoring a church, working a job somewhere, even going to school. Our children themselves are under tremendous stress today. Paul says here that the care of all the churches. Man, I can't pastor one, much less a bunch of them, like the Apostle Paul. He said the care of all the churches. His heart was burdened there, but yet he says we are triumphant in all things. Wherever we are or whatever we're doing. Paul suffered in his spirit. Notice in the chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, for we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life. Yes, Paul was stressed in his spirit. He knew what it was for the devil to attack in his inward man. He knew the suffering of soul and spirit. And I don't suppose there's any greater suffering than when you suffer in your spirit. Amen. Oh, when the devil attacks and when trouble comes and the problems are greater than you think you can bear. But notice again in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. He just says, keep looking up. Keep looking to Jesus. Paul was under terrible attacks. And also the 21st Christian also has tribulations and trials and sufferings. The number of our problems, the number one problem with the 21st century Christian, I believe, is that of stress. You know, I've been married some 45 years. Just seems like 25. Well, I'm glad she didn't hear that.
You got out of it.
Been married 45 years. And you would think that things would get easier as you went on in life. I used to dream of the golden days, if they would ever come, when I could retire and sit back and take it easy. But it hasn't got here yet. And I cannot find a place to quit. I cannot find a place to lay the Bible down and to sit back and take it easy. There is no stopping place for a child of God. Paul never retired. He just had his head cut off. Peter never retired. He was crucified upside down. All the apostles, with the exception of one, died a martyr's death. I find no place in the Word of God to say it's time to quit.
Oh, the Word of God, when we get in it, stirs the heart and moves the soul, and you can't quit. We're always triumphant in Christ. Oh, listen. There's financial obligations. I've never seen so much in all of my life. I mean, the world is out there. It's offering everything in the world that it can possibly offer. And people are succumbing to the allurements of the world. And they're getting so financially obligated that they don't know which way to turn. Turn into counseling services, financial services, and all the time they're getting worse and worse off by the minute. Then their family obligations. Brother, I want to tell you, I'm sick and tired of trying to schedule revivals around ball games. Amen? I'm sick and tired of trying to schedule revivals around vacations. Some of our folks, I believe, get 25 vacations a year. I mean, preacher, we're on vacation that week. Why didn't you schedule revival then? Well, Lord of mercy, you got November, December, January, and February to get away from the ball games and the vacations. But people are under financial obligations and family obligations. Working conditions, and they're torn between all of these. Then I look around. Not only is there stress, but there's depression. I ain't never seen so many church folks depressed in all of my life. I mean, you know, they get depressed at church sometimes, and then I get depressed looking out at them. Sometimes I want to put them up here where I am and to get out where they are and look up at them. Some of them say, well, preacher, you know, they come to church, sit down in a pew, kick it out of gear, and say, bless me if you can. Many are simply overwhelmed by the demands on their lives. No light at the end of the tunnel. No escape from financial obligations. Mental oppressions. I believe that's where the devil is doing his strongest work now, is in the minds of people. You know, the Lord tries us in our strongest places. The devil tries us in our weakest places. Most of the time, that's our minds, at least in my case. Said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now listen, folks, that's nothing but the devil. The devil wants to conquer you. The devil wants to defeat you. But Paul said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. God is greater and bigger than all of these things. He always causes us this physical illness of self or family members. Heard about a man last night that took 2 years off of his job to take care of his parents. And I'm glad he could do it. But illness, physical, mental, all the such. But how can Paul say after his experiences and what we Christians bear today, how can Paul say such a thing as this? Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Well, first of all, I want to say our text is the power of the ministry. Amen. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd quit today. If it wasn't for the Word of God and the power and the anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit. I lay this book down and never open it again. Oh, a text is a reason, a purpose for a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I told the church this last night. Did you know God is not hiding from us? God's not hiding from us. We're just not seeking. God is available. And God wants a relationship, a personal fellowship with each and every one of His children. Some weekends we go, my wife and I, all of our children are grown, have children of their own. And they don't call. Man, I get all tore up when I don't hear from my kids. And I said that. I don't call them. If they don't call, well, sometimes I do, but not often. Boy, I get jealous. And none of them has called us this weekend. What's wrong? They must not be hungry. Because when they come, they want to eat. But you know what? I want that fellowship with my young'uns. I want to hear from them. I want them around me. And God wants us around Him. God wants the personal fellowship with us. God had to run off and hid. We're the one that has left. Our text is the reason we endure hardships and agonies and pain. Christ is sovereign. He's Lord. He's King. I don't know how much time I got, but I'm just about through. There's a picture that Paul is painting here. We're dealing here with a grand and glorious picture. Oh, what pictures the Holy Spirit paints in His precious Word. This Paul is alluding to in these scriptures, a triumphal entry of a Roman general. Back in those days, when a Roman general went off to battle, and except at the end of the Roman Empire, the Roman general would always come home victorious. And you know what would happen? It began early in the morning, and it lasted long into the night. They would have a triumphal parade. Now I want you to picture this. On his return, he would have all the spoils of the victory right up front. He would have all the treasures that he'd gotten, all the gold, all the silver, all right up in front there. And he would have all those that had been conquered that were going to be set free right up in front. Those that were going to be put to death or put in prison or made slaves, they would be in the back of the parade. And here comes that Roman general in glory and pomp, all the majesty and beauty that they could put on. And during that parade, they would have incense. All of that smoke from that incense would be flowing up. And sometimes it would even cover those that was in the parade. They would be burning incense to their gods. And with this in mind, Paul is saying, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now listen to this. and making manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ. Listen, when we enter that place, there's going to be a glorious and triumphant entry into that city. And up front are going to be the trophies of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the saints of the living God. Amen. Listen, folks, I couldn't describe it. I can't even scratch the surface of it. But I want you to notice something here. For we are a sweet Savior of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Those that are behind, their hearts are going to be crying out in vain. Left behind, lost and undone. But we that are up front, the Savior, that sweet Savior, like an incense, going up to the Heavenly Father. Oh, listen, folks. We will be able to say then, without a shadow of a doubt, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, regardless of who we are. If we're a child of God, we always triumph in Christ. God bless you. Amen.